WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Good morning, everyone. My name is Michael G. Haskins. It's 10 a.m. Coming up next, Vantage Point with Professor Ron Daniels.
Good morning. This is the professor, Dr. Ron Daniels, president of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century and distinguished lecturer at York College, City University of New York, welcoming you to this August 7th, I guess it is, edition of Vantage Point, a fun drive edition on WBAI 99.5 FM on the Pacifica Network here in New York in collaboration with YCRadio.org. That's right. That's the York College radio station. And we're gearing up to go back. We'll be back in the classroom soon, though there have been people doing classes all summer. But I'm gearing up to go back in a couple of weeks to be the professor in the classroom as well at the York College. Well, today it's going to be all about Haiti. All about Haiti today. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But first and foremost, I want to thank everybody who contributed last week to our pledge drive. We had a great time. And we're just delighted that people were kind enough to contribute last week as we continue to try to keep WBAI vital and sustain it and help grow it. And so, again, I just can't thank you enough for your support last week. We hope others will be forthcoming this week. This week, we're going to be talking about Haiti. And we're going to dedicate this show to the memory of Boukman. Do you know who Boukman was? Well, you'll find out soon. But Boukman is the forgotten brother, so to speak, in the overall pantheon of the leaders of the Haitian Revolution. You always hear about the big four. The other thing you don't hear about are women. We're going to hear about that today. So we dedicate this show to Boukman. But before we do that, we just want to encourage you to become a WBAI buddy. If all else, you know, if you can't do 50, 75, whatever the premium is, you can become a WBAI buddy. We always encourage people to do that for as little as $10 a month. That's $120 a year. You can become a WBAI buddy. You just go to give2wbai.org and sign up. And it's a recurring payment, or it comes directly out of your checking account or your credit card. It's painless, but it does enhance the possibilities and expands the possibilities for WBAI. We do a similar thing with the Institute of the Black World 21st Century. I was just noticing the other day we had three or four more people signed up as sustaining contributors, and I was jumping up saying hallelujah because we need them. That helps to build a foundation. I'm a WBAI buddy. Encourage my friends to do likewise. You can do 10, 25, any amount that you want on a recurring basis. And it's good because it just happens. You know, you don't have to worry about, did I forget to pay this month or anything along those lines. Also, last week, I also started my pledge for $150. I always start each pledge drive with my own personal contribution, and so that is going into the till as well. Today's premium is quite interesting. We're going to have an interesting sort of dialectic or eclectic kind of show today. On the one hand, we're going to be talking about the Haitian Revolution and various aspects of it. On the other hand, we're going to be talking about Haiti's treatment, the treatment of Haiti and its people. The premium is called The Sweet Science of Racism in Haiti, and it is historical perspectives on the architects of Haitian racism And it is a show that was originally produced by the late Robert Knight back in May of 2010. And that was after the earthquake. But it was a good opportunity to just examine how Haitians are treated. And within the premium, there will be segments that deal with modern-day slave treated in, you know, the sugar fields and there's in Florida. There's a section on treatment of Haitians in the Dominican Republic. We're going to talk to our guests about that as well. I mean, first of all, there are Dominicans of Haitian descent that are being treated as second-class citizens. And then there's the way in which they're treated. The Haitians who go over and work in the Dominican Republic are treated like slaves. And voodoo, right? Well, yeah, there's all kind of myths and superstitions about that. We'll have the premium includes some understanding. And there's discussions about the earthquake itself, what was proposed, how it was handled, the way in which there was mistreatment, and all those. So it is a broad-ranging collection of diverse aspects of how Haitians are treated or perceived. In the instance of voodoo, for example, there is these misconceptions, all of the spookism and mysticism and so forth, which we want to unpack. So that's the premium. The premium for today is $100. It's $100 for that package. It includes a copy of the original Declaration of Independence of the People of Haiti, which is a great dollar. Other bonuses that go with it as well. But it is a 2-CD set. And the visuals of it, some of it is in Creole, so we can't sort of play the audio from it in some ways. But when you see it, the visuals of it, and of course there's ink, you know, you hear, you can see the translation is run across the screens, which is different from our ability to actually like run the audio. But it's a great premium. And so that's about it, because Haiti is my passion. It's the main international work we do with the Institute of the Black World 21st Century. Been doing it for 22 years now, I guess. 22 years first in 1995 with the Haiti Support Project. Have been there more times than I can remember. So let's dedicate this show to Boukman and begin the conversation with our very first guest who joins us for the conversation, Sister Dewodi Desir. Sister Dewodi, welcome to Vantage Point.
Thank you. Great to be here with you.
And it's great to have you on. You're such a wonderful, wonderful sister, and you're very conversant with these issues and sort of keep our feet to the fire in some ways and making sure that we are in tune with certain traditions and aspects of pure spirituality and so forth, and I really, really appreciate that. Quickly, give us a little bit about your background. You're doing a lot of national work, but doing global work and written books and all that stuff. So give us a skinny.
Okay. Well, my name is Dewodi Desir. I'm actually Mambo Asobwe, which is a high priest in Haitian voodoo. I've been a priest for over 20 years in that tradition. I am a scholar, a former professor at Brooklyn College, but I work independently, have a couple of books, one called Essays in Human Rights, a Voodoo Priest's Perspective, another called Good Kasi Good, Conjuring Memory in Spaces of the Afro-Atlantic. And the second book actually reflects much of the work that I do as a photographer. I have traveled extensively and through photography, the monuments, the memorials, the historic places of the transatlantic slave trade, and wherever possible, try to connect these sites so that we have a broader understanding of how extensive the transatlantic slave trade was, how it impacted us, and who some of the important personalities are to be aware of. And and I want to encourage people to really pay attention to what is both in the built environment, the things that we see, and then the things that are in the natural environment, things we tend not to see as much, but are full of history, full of knowledge, full of lessons, spiritual, military, economic, and otherwise, that we need to be aware of. And all the scholarly work, the creative work, the photography, the writing, the research, ultimately falls under the priest, because part of the role of a priest and the healing can take place physically, but a lot of healing has to take place amongst us, spiritually, and intellectually, and mentally as well.
Right.
So knowing oneself is at the heart of all of this.
Right. Well, one of the things I wanted to do today, because I really wanted to devote this show, entire show, to Haiti, but I did it because it's coming up on the commemoration of Wakaima. And mm-hmm. Yes, we'll know, but there are many within our audience who probably don't even know what Wakaima is or was. So I wanted you to sort of start us off with what was it and the significance of same.
Well, the Wakaima is an actual physical place in Haiti, first of all. And it is, more importantly, the site of the start of the revolution. It was recognized as the solution that has ultimately changed the dynamics that Europeans have with Africans. It was both a military congress and a voodoo ceremony. The piece about a congress, a meeting of minds of Africans who had decided that it was time to take the matter of their liberation into their that this was planned, it was thought through, that it was organized in such a way as to bring about a specific outcome. And the other piece, the sort of more exotic piece, the piece that lent itself to being vilified, to being to scaring people, to being demonized, was the ceremony itself, a pact that Africans made to free them, spiritual exercise that sort of sealed all of the political, the military decisions that had been made in the hours, the days before. So the revolution started on the 14th of August in 1791. That's the official start date. And Boukman, Makai were some of the key players of the Haitian Revolution. They were voodoo priests and priestess who essentially launched a revolution that, again, would not only change the fate of Haiti, but it would change the fate of many of the countries in Latin America and lead to their freedom as well.
Well, you know, one of the reasons I wanted to start here is because, again, I'm not totally conversant in Haitian history, but I really, really am passionate about Haiti, and I really think all people of African descent, indeed the world, particularly the United States, too, owes a major debt to Haiti, because the Haitian Revolution was unique in many ways. But, you know, when you hear about the Haitian Revolution, you seldom hear about Boukman, and you seldom hear about Wakaima. It's like, and I maintain, and I may be wrong, is that really it was this spiritual foundation that undergirded the Haitian revolutionaries and enabled them to overcome all that the French threw at them, that this not given sufficient acknowledgement of. What's your thought about that?
Well, I agree very much. I often think of this as voodoo being a battle for supremacy that challenged white European notions of what God meant, who God was, what God looked like. And in our case, it was, it looked like me. It you know, melanin rich, old, tightly, a God that came from a continent full of riches, of greenery, of a certain kind of wealth that we knew about, and that we embraced. And this has reflected the love of Africa, and how we remember Africa is something that is reflected in the songs and the prayers of Wudang, that even in actual ceremony, the structure of the ceremonies is an act of remembrance that encourages Africans to remember where we came from, who we are, and where we have yet to go. So not talking, not writing about voodoo in a way that is positive, or excluding that element of our history in textbooks, is intentional. It is a deliberate scheme to remind us as African descendants of what our place is in this society, and that we will we are to remain subjugated to European thought, to European masters, if you will. And one of the ways that that is achieved is, again, is through acts of deliberate silence, acts of suppression, and acts of vilification. So even if you do know about the Haitian Revolution, you know about voodoo, and you know about its role in the Haitian Revolution, it is designed to look as if this is devil worshiping. This is not a place you want to go. That, yes, you might liberate yourself, but you're actually making a pact with the devil. And right. this mindset has been in place from day one, and it continues to affect us right through. And it was very palpable and evident during the earthquake.
Well, the other thing I wanted to mention, too, and I hope you can hang through, because I initially talked to you about for half an hour, but I hope you can stay through for a segment, because we have to do a pitch here and go on and break on the other side, because I want to talk more about voodoo in particular, because there's a part of this premium that focuses on that. But this sort of lack of acknowledgement or burying of this aspect of the Congress of the voodoo under spiritual undergirding, it seems also to be suppressed by Haitians themselves, at least the elite, because you hear about, you know, we all know about Toussaint Louverture, we all know about Dessalines, and but you never see Boukman up there, and some of the women too who were involved, their names are not upraised as well. So is this sort of a, might be called, what maybe John Henry B. Clark might call, kind of a Eurocentrism that pervades the Haitian elite and therefore colors the lens by which the Haitian Revolution is seen?
I think it is. I also think there is this matter of internal repression. Again, to the extent that you are a member of the elite, you don't become an elite. You can't be at the top unless there's somebody at the bottom. You know, it just doesn't work that way. The moment there is a notion of an elite, that means that there's a hierarchy there. And so who's at the bottom of the hierarchy? How are you going to maintain your position at the top? So it doesn't serve the interests of the oligarchy in Haiti, of most of the economic elite in Haiti, to acknowledge the importance of the revolution and the idea of encouraging the rise of personalities like a Boukman. It's not in their interest. You know, what's important for us to understand is, you know, the Haitian Revolution created a blueprint for nation building, and it was one that was redlined out of history as it was written by the West, by Europeans, and then, you know, and it's been erased by our own people because from the perspective of the elite, they want to continue, they need to continue to suppress and keep a vast majority of folks beneath them so that they could enjoy their wealth in ways that, you know, is problematic, not only because of the social inequalities that it sustains, but it dishonors the vision of the revolution and the first constitutions that we had. You know, the issue of equity is critical. You mentioned women, and I cited one of them, Mambo Cecile Fatima, a Haitian voodoo priest, but there was also Claire Ewers, the wife of Dessalines, who was instrumental in nursing and taking care of soldiers on both sides of the revolution. Our most famous warrior, female warrior at least, Sanité Belair, is someone who more research needs to be done about her. Marie-Jeanne La Martinière is another one that is talked about. Catherine Fong, who was the Haitian Betsy Ross, who made our flag. These women are talked about. They're known, and in fact, they are venerated. But you will see that in a couple of ways. One, again, that is seen. And we have to give props to the former president, Jean-Bertrand Aristide,
yes,
who made a point of making sure we saw ourselves throughout history. I mentioned that I've traveled all over the world and have been documenting the sites of the transatlantic slave trade, and that includes the sites of our victories, not just the sites of tragedy. And one of the most remarkable things I found in Haiti is how monuments, memorials, paintings, public artwork, stuff that you don't have to go to school to learn about, you just got to walk outside your door, keep your eyes open, and you will see memorials and monuments that speak to the importance of solidarity, heroism, military might to our the role that we played in the revolution. And one of the remarkable things about that is you always see women depicted. You don't just see the images of men on their horses or men with swords in their hands. You see images of women there. The nature of the revolution was a democratic one. It recognized gender equity, and that women had a role in building the society. Women knew that they had an important role because women were subjected, and this has been the case right through the 20th century, mind you.
I need to take a little break here because I absolutely have to say a bit about this premium. Please hang on. I want you to stay on the other side because we're talking about the Haitian Revolution. But one of the things that happened because of the Haitian Revolution is Haiti, at least in the eyes of Europeans, was marginalized. There's been a constant attack on Haiti for shattering the myth of white supremacy. And it has been subjected time and time again to invasions, incursions, and all kinds of mistreatment. Our premium today, which is, again, The Sweet Science of Racism in Haiti, is a collection of sort of examples of how Haitians are treated in various contexts, but also about myths and misconceptions, particularly and notably the whole question of voodoo, which Dewodi Zazir is speaking about. There are different aspects of it. And it is something that was put together, an incredible piece put together by Robert Knight. There was a whole section of it that deals with the Haitian Reconstruction. And as I was looking at a part of it last night, there was a seminar conducted at one of the universities in Florida, and I recognized one of the people who had attended this conference about the Reconstruction, Leslie Voltaire, who is, I would count as a friend, actually. Worked with him for many, many years. So this is something you ought to have, because it has so many aspects to it. There are many people who are not familiar with how the depth of the treatment of Haitians, for example, in the Dominican Republic, the issue of Haitians or Dominicans of Haitian descent, but also of Haitians who migrate looking for work and who work in the sugarcane fields, and how, I mean, the utterly quasi-slave working conditions. Or even in Florida, right here in the United States of America, how Haitians are treated, again, as migrant workers, you know, who are treated, again, in subhuman conditions. And when they migrate, the difference between Haitians and people who come from Cuba, for example, people who are held in detention camps. But it's not just the United States. It may be in Mexico. It may be in various other places where Haitians very often are treated in ways that are not good. And so we need to have this information. You need to be aware of it. Because in a way, we need to strengthen our understanding about Haiti and how Haiti is treated, because we also ought to be supporting Haiti much more than we do. And so I urge you to contribute to WBAI today, to contribute to Vantage Point today, but also to your knowledge base by pledging to get this premium today. It's just $100. You can call 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602. And we really, really want to hopefully match the number of people who called last week. We really had a good response. We hope there are those out there today who will do likewise. Because, again, Haiti, we need to know more about Haiti in depth. And, again, this one really looks at more or less kind of the negative side. But out of the negative can come positives, because Haitians should not be treated the way they are treated, given the rich history, and particularly by the United States of America. It is utterly disgraceful that the United States, whose territory was greatly expanded because of the Louisiana Purchase, and there are many other things that you could talk about, Henri Christophe in being involved in the Battle of Savannah, but there's now a monument to that after Haitians had to fight to get it erected, by the way. There's just so much that Haitians have contributed to this country that actually there should be celebrations about Haiti as opposed to the kind of denigration that goes on. So this rich premium, it has, again, it's two CDs, and it also has a copy of the original Declaration of Independence for Haiti, which is a good document to have for yourself, for your family, and for others. And so it is a worthwhile acquisition, and it's an acquisition that also, most importantly, supports WBAI. So I urge you to, before we take our break, I'd like to get at least five people to start it off. At least five people who are friends, people who are passionate about Haiti or who want to know more about Haiti, at least in this regard. To go to your phones right now, 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602. And pledge. And you can do that on your credit card. You can make arrangements to do it by check. There are volunteers who are patiently waiting for you. They don't want to be sitting there idly. They want to be busy. We want you to be busy. We want them to be busy because the cause is right. Even if there were no premium, and I say this over again, it's repetitive, it's redundant, but it's true. If there were no pledges, I mean, there were no premiums, I would still be asking you to donate $100 because WBAI is worth it. And you say, well, I gave once. Well, yes, but give again, because giving is life-giving for this station. this incredible station where this kind of information in depth you just don't get anywhere else. I was watching a newscast the other day, and they hit it and quit it so fast you can't hardly. I mean, this is why we have people like the Orange Man in the White House. There's no depth. There's no sense of real understanding of things. So you can't take time because it's a hit it and quit it kind of mentality. 516-620-3602. I urge you to go to your phones right now, and for $100, just $100, get this premium dedicated again to the memory of Boukman. And the premium is The Sweet Science of Racism in Haiti, historical perspectives on the architects of racism, and it's produced by Robert Knight, or the late Robert Knight, the great broadcasters here on WBAI. And again, it was done after the earthquake, so there's a whole major section on the earthquake itself, how Haiti was treated there, what the responses were like, and those kind of things. So again, we want to get at least five people in right now at 516-620-3602. We're going to take a break here, but over the break, don't forget to call in 516-620-3602. We'll be back to continue our conversation with Dorothy Dazier and to continue to talk about this premium after we take this break.
Over the last year, 20,000 Haitian migrants arrived at the U.S. border seeking asylum. The sudden influx led President Obama to start turning them away after years of acceptance. Now, under the Trump administration's tightened border, thousands of Haitians could be stranded in Tijuana for years to come.
Aquí donde estamos, en Tijuana, estoy aquí con mi familia, mi esposa, mi hija y una hermana también. Estamos aquí hace aproximadamente 2 meses. Decidimos salir para ver si podemos llegar hasta los Estados Unidos, porque pensando que allá así hay un futuro mejor. Entonces creo que hay bastante haitiano aquí en Tijuana. Se va a convertir en una pequeña Haití.
Most of these migrants came from Brazil, where many displaced Haitians fled after the devastating 2010 earthquake. But with the Brazilian economy in a rut, thousands decided to head to the U.S.
Es una cosa nunca volveré a repetir en la historia de mi vida.
Getting to the U.S. meant a dangerous 3-month journey across 10 countries, costing up to $7,000 per person. Most of these migrants spent all their money only to find themselves in limbo.
Previously, women and children were being paroled, but in light of the new executive orders that Trump has signed, almost all of them are going to remain detained, and they're going to remain detained for quite some period of time, and most of them are not going to be released, and they're going to be deported back to Haiti.
Los Estados Unidos, uh-huh. Ellos quieren deportarlos a Haiti.
Sí.
Mejor para quedar aquí en México o otro país.
Porque si es una ley.
En los Estados Unidos, ellos tienen un proceso de asilo.
Uh-huh.
Y algunas personas van a recibir asilo. Pero porque ustedes son migrantes por motivos económicos, ¿sí? Si usted es un migrante económico, no van a recibir asilo.
Now that we're getting reports back from Haitians who have gone through the process in the United States, but then have been subsequently deported to Haiti, people are thinking about staying here.
Okay, that was a sort of an illustrative excerpt there. We're going to take our break here, and we'll be right back.
Aïe,
Okay, we're back, and again, this entire show is devoted to Haiti, our understanding of various aspects of it. Dewodi Tazir has joined us to talk to us about Waka Amen. We talked about what that ceremony, the Congress, meant, and the ceremony that took place. Was the date August 14th, Dewodi?
Yes, but I've also seen August 21st as written, but as I know, my history was the 14th, 1791.
Right.
But you have an excellent historian who's coming up later, I know, Patrick Denise, so he'll be able to verify that one way or another.
Right, yeah. I remember.
Did want to mention,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. I did want to just go back briefly to the point that I was making earlier in terms of the role of women. That was, again, something emphasized during the Waka Amen Congress and ceremony. A sort of a Haitian army consisting of women. And women more than men are often part of war booty, you know. Mm. So they're violated, we're violated, we're raped. And this is an idea that has been in the heads of men universally right through the 20th century. So it was vital that women get involved and protect themselves and be a part of the revolution. And, of course, we have a model of women's armies in the Dahomeyan Amazons who we have to imagine, most of the Africans who arrived in Haiti were born on the African continent. So the ideology, social structures, political issues that were of the continent also played into the Haitian Revolution. So the role of women's armies and women warriors was an important thing. And it is enshrined further in the structure of Voodoo when we look at Ezuli Danton. Ezuli Danton is the queen mother. She's often depicted as the Black Madonna, if you will. But there's seven roads of Ezuli, and this is this idea of female power, the woman who is the mother of the nation, the woman who will go to war and protect her children at all costs. And almost all of the roads of Ezuli Danton are roads of justice, of roads of power. So this idea of female power is enshrined intensely in Voodoo and was a part of the Haitian revolution and the ceremony Waka Amen. And relative to that, speaking of motherhood, that ceremony, that Congress, is actually the mother of Pan-Africanism.
Mm.
Because it brought together groups of Africans from different countries, from different who spoke different languages, who had different sensibilities together. That ceremony pulled all these differences that people had together in one place, one time, united to work in solidarity to rise up and fight against a common oppressor. So that's the other debt that we as Africanists, we as Pan-Africanists owe to IET. It was a Congress that was well thought out. It was well constructed. So principles of organization that ultimately, I argue, affect the Pan-African Congress, the way that Dubois and George Padmore and Richard Blyden and later on thinkers like King and Malcolm, and right down to the Black Power movement, all of that comes from the Haitian Revolution. And so it's critical that we know that and support Haiti and Haitian thinkers and writers from that perspective. You were talking about giving on the show. It is important to give because this is about the idea of solidarity, of building community, of building a society and moving towards our collective independence. And these are principles that were enshrined in the Haitian Revolution and brought out in ways that, I wasn't there, but I, as a voodoo priest, I know what the principles of my traditions are, what creeds it upholds, what principles of governance it advocates, and the tradition hasn't changed, much in a couple of hundred years,
right?
Because the idea of our independence, our liberation, our self-sufficiency, self-governance, are still very much needed in the 21st century.
And a part of the premium that we have for today, as I said before, is this rich collection, compendium of different segments and different aspects that Robert Knight pulled together. And one of them is on voodoo. And I had a chance to see a little bit of it when I Googled last night. I actually saw a part of it, and it's quite powerful and quite rich. And people really, 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 if for no other reason, that part of the premium alone is worth you going to, in fact, pledge for it. So go to your phones today, 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. For our premium today, which is The Sweet Science of Racism in Haiti. And a part of that, I'm sure some of that sweet has to do with the way in which Haitians are treated in places like the Dominican Republic. Dewode, I'd like to just have you comment on a couple of things before we let you go.
Mm-hmm.
One is because this premium does focus a great deal on how Haitians are treated. And I wonder whether you would say a word about the way in which Dominicans of Haitian descent are being treated currently, and this is discussed within the premium, but also how Haitians who go to work in the Dominican Republic are treated on the sugar plantations, the sugar fields, and whatever.
Certainly. At the heart of all this is this notion of Afrophobia, the fear of, we think of it, the fear of the black planet. This is the epitome of that. Afrophobia is the fear of people, of culture, of the sensibilities of African descendants, and it results in violence that is both structural, psychological, and physical. We're the same people on different sides of an island. In IET, we are taught to take pride and to love our African roots, and that is very, very clear and very evident, certainly in voodoo, its structure, again, the prayers, ceremonies, Guinée, when we talk about death, We talk about returning to Guinea. We talk about returning back to Africa, to the homeland. On the other side, we have a group of people who were taught to believe, and this was a deliberate action by Spaniards, that and this is after Haiti broke its alliances with Spain when they saw that Spain was still interested in keeping Africans enslaved. The Africans on the other side of the island were taught to believe that so long as they had one drop of white blood in them, that they were anything but Africans, that they were anything but black, that they could be morenas and chinas in Indias, and these are specific terms that denote how close to being white you are. And so the prevalence of that idea is at the heart of this anti-Haitianismo, the anti-Haitian violence, the Afrophobic behavior that we see in the Dominican Republic, that the Dominican government under a president, Fernandez himself is an African descendant, took this radical measure to undo the nationality of Dominicans of Haitian descent going back several generations is an abomination, and it's a violation of all sorts of international human rights codes. That would be the equivalent of what they did, would be the equivalent of deciding that African Americans who have been here for several generations, that they were not considered Americans anymore. They were other. So how would you feel if somebody decided you're a descendant of all of us of Africa? You can't be here. You can't be here. And so this is the same thing that has been determined. And the moment that you create this situation of statelessness, we talk about the Palestinians being without a state. This is what the Dominican government has done to Dominicans of Haitian descent. It's created a situation of statelessness for them. And statelessness means that you have no rights. There is no record of your existence. You can't go to school. You can't get hospitalization. You can't get any of the social services that the state that your nation is to provide you with. And this act of dehumanization is not conceptually any different from the mentality that informs chattel slavery. So this is an extremely problematic position. It's a dangerous position and a dangerous policy that has been set up in the Dominican Republic. And it is allowed for a level of brutality that is shocking, where you see instances of our Dominican brothers and sisters, but it's mostly, unfortunately, our brothers, dragging Haitians out of their homes and brutalizing them, throwing stones at them, stoning them, mostly cutting them up with machetes, and upon the slightest provocation, will even hang people. It is a level of lawlessness that exists there when it comes to the treatment of Haitians. So if someone is not considered human, it is an excuse for lawless behavior. When someone is stateless, there's no law can prevail and protect them. So it is a disgusting thing. And I do encourage listeners, if you love yourself, if you understand these notions of solidarity, then you do have to work with Haitians and other people whom we find in situations of statelessness. Because what happens to one of us will happen to all of us.
Right. Now, the same attitude that you're referring to also is in the way Haitians are treated in the fields too, as well. Right. I mean, this brutal existence of Haitians now who come over to work into the sugar fields.
Yes. Working from can't see from sunrise to sunset.
Can't see.
Yeah, that is very much the case of the plight of sugar workers, field workers, people not getting paid the amounts that they were promised. People getting paid late. All sorts of excuses to deduct money from their paychecks. Just inhumane working conditions. Is very much the reality faced by sugarcane workers in the Dominican Republic. But I know the brutality of this firsthand because my mother's mother, who was a Cuban woman who migrated to Haiti and also worked in the Dominican Republic, among other things, cutting sugarcane seasonally. She told me about how horrible that is. Mm. And we went into a sugarcane once. Go in there. Go in a sugarcane. Breathe in. Cut one piece of sugarcane and see how your nostrils are splintered by the bark of the cane itself. Understand how difficult it is to cut and multiply that a thousandfold, then you'll understand what the experience is of a sugarcane worker. And maybe, your humanity, our humanity, will be reflected and extended to them.
Well, Dzodi Zazir, we are out of time, but really, really appreciate your penetrating insights and your thoughtful articulation of same around voodoo and the Haitian experience and the power of it from the perspective of a voodoo priest. We really, really appreciate it. And we'll have you back because we really want to unpack more of this with you because you really bring a tremendous amount to our understanding. So thank you so much for spending time with us this morning.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Dr. Daniel. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, a part of this premium also is kind of a documentary of the experience of Haitians in the sugarcane fields in the Dominican Republic. And again, it's rough, but it's the kind of thing you need to see because you hear about it, but you have to see it to see. And the motivation is not just to make you feel bad. It is to steal your determination to support Haiti, to support Haitian people, to support the idea that Haiti must be freed from the shackles of oppression. It must be freed from these stereotypes. It must be freed from this racist characterization of it and the kind of unrelenting punishment of Haitians for having achieved the greatest revolution in the world and world history and having shattered the myth of white supremacy. That's what this is about. So I urge you to go to your phones right now to get this premium. Again, an extraordinary piece of work pulled together by Robert Knight in 2010. It includes two CDs, but it also has an original copy of the Declaration of Independence of the People of Haiti, which is a powerful document in and of itself. And you can have all of this for your archives as teaching tools. I always use that teaching tool assessment of how you can use it. These premiums are all valuable. And when we talk about Haiti, this is a valuable premium to have in your archives and to have at your disposal. So go to your phones right now, 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. Again, the premium, talks about modern day slavery in Florida. Because what's happening in the Dominican Republic is happening right here in the United States in Florida. And there are segments that really show and hear the testimonies of Haitians working in the fields. There's also testimonies about Haitians, you know, who have come to this country, you know, who are aspiring to do as others have come, and then how they're treated differently than others who have come to this country. That's a part of the premium as well. And then there is a really, really very informative section trying to explain and have you understand better what voodoo is really about. And you've already heard devotee Zazir talk about its role in history. And that's why I wanted to dedicate this show to Boukman, because I believe that it was this spiritual power which really was the element that enabled the Haitian revolutionaries to withstand the mighty force of the armies of Napoleon Bonaparte as they went in some instances being slaughtered, but they kept coming and coming and coming and coming until the French simply had to relent. They had to yield. And for the first time in the history of the world, a formerly enslaved people overthrew their slave masters to create a independent nation, the first black republic in the history of the world. Go to your phones, 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602, to get our premium for today in support of WBAI, in support of Vantage Point. I mean, it was good to have people, and I guess there's some people even after the show last week, you know, registered online and attributed it to Vantage Point. Because the kind of thoughtful discussion you just heard from Devotee Desir, you get that on Vantage Point and all of the shows really on WBAI. That's what's so important about it. And we want to keep that alive. But, you know, I'm not selfish, but I kind of got a little pride. I want people to support Vantage Point. So I want you to give a vote of confidence. So for just $100, $100 credit card check account, make arrangements to installments, however you want to do it, call 516-620-3602. We're devoting the entire show today to Haiti and doing it because Waka Amen is coming up. You may have never heard of Waka Amen, but you heard about it today. You may have never heard of Boukman. You heard about it today. And you're hearing how, because of this extraordinary revolution, Haiti has been treated, marginalized, stigmatized. It's people, great people, resilient people. When you go to Haiti, it's just interesting. I bumped into someone in Washington, D.C. the other day, Busboys and Poets. The Haitian ambassador is beginning to have the kind of trips that HSP sponsors to Haiti. And just a small trip, 10 people. And she knew of me and whatnot. And I guess she maybe didn't know about the Haitian stuff. And I talked to her, and oh, she was just, oh. She said, oh, I had all these misconceptions and all that, all these fears. She said, oh, it was so wonderful. Poverty in Haiti, yes, but the people are great. The history, the sense of resilience, it is so incredible. Haiti, we all ought to be supporting Haiti. We all have a debt to Haiti. Let's begin to talk about paying that debt today. About 516-620-3602. Learn more about this treatment, even as we share with you the history, the background. Patches Delicious will be coming up soon, and we'll be talking about not only Boukman, but Toussaint, Dessalines. We'll be talking about Patreon, but also Henri Christophe. These are the people that you kind of know more about, but we're going to talk about their contributions as well, but also his take on the issue of the treatment of Haitians today, which is really laid out in this premium, but also examination of people who came to Florida to talk about how they were being treated and the behavior of European powers, including the United States around the earthquake, is a major segment in this premium as well. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Let's keep those phones ringing. Let's keep those phones ringing. Let's get our quota for the day. Let's really, really, really fire this up in support of WBAI. If there were no premiums, we would still have the premium, because the real prize is community listener-sponsored radio, where the corporate bosses cannot tell us what to do. We like Shirley Chisholm. We're unbought and unbossed, because you be the boss. Call us at 516-620-3602 to get this premium, $100. Now, if you can't afford $100, become a WBAI buddy. Become a WBAI buddy for just $10. Just $10 a month, $120 a year. You become a WBAI buddy, and you get all kind of goodies with that as well. A tote bag, other kinds of retail benefits, discounts that come with it. It is an incredible package that the management has put forward, put together in terms of getting you in order to support WBAI as a permanent sustaining member of the family. So again, become a WBAI buddy if you can't afford the premium, or just make a contribution in the name of Vantage Point. $25, $50, whatever. Give us a call right now, 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Again, we have volunteers waiting. We don't want any of those lines to be open. And they're open lines, so you can call right now. Get in immediately. Oh, thank you for that call. Thank you for that call. Thank you for that call. We appreciate so much you calling. Continue those calls coming. 516-620-3602. The premium, again, is the sweet science of racism. And again, it's historical perspectives on the architects of Haitian racism. And we're looking at it in its various forms. So we're doing two things. We're talking about Haiti's history in the background, but we also have a premium that has various dimensions of how Haitians have been treated, not so much because we want you to feel bad, but because we want you to feel determined that these conditions of the hatred and marginalization and stigmatizing of Haiti will end because of our solidarity. 516-620-3602. We'll take a break and come back with our resident friend, Haitian himself, as is Devotee Desire. Patrick Delicious joins us after this break.
I am Toussaint Louverture. My name is perhaps known to you.
He was called the Black George Washington. He fought off three empires and enraged Napoleon.
The prospect of a black republic is equally disturbing to the Spanish, the English, and the Americans.
He championed liberty and égalité for all. Toussaint Louverture and the Haitian Revolution.
This program
when Haiti was still the dormant colony of Saint-Domingue, it was France that grabbed the world's attention. Parisian mobs rioted against the French king and against their own desperate poverty, chanting slogans for liberty, equality, and brotherhood, they sparked a revolution that would fill history books for centuries to come.
The trick about the French Revolution was that it meant a lot of different things to a lot of different people.
Okay, we're back. We're getting a little taste of Haitian history. But let me just say this. I often say this to people. In fact, I was talking to some folks the other day, and they were talking about going to Africa. I said, well, if you can't make it to Africa right away, go to Haiti. You can hear the music. You know, I'm not trying to disparage any of the other Caribbean islands or nations, if you will. But a lot of times when you go to these other places, you kind of, the African heritage is kind of buried, and there's an effort to uplift the cosmopolitan nature of it and so forth, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then the music, you kind of, well, you know, all of our music, whether it's reggae, all of these musics are derived from an African base. But when you go to Haiti, you get it. Straight up, no chaser. You hear that music? That's African music. I mean, you can hear it, and you feel it among the people. There's an unapologetic identification with the African roots. That's why I say, if you can't make it to Africa, just go to Haiti. Just go to Haiti, and you will see Africa. And if you go to a voodoo ceremony, you really, really see it, because the music is the African drums and the dancing, and it's all there. It has been preserved, and culture is the repository of resistance. And again, that's why I think again Boukman is so incredibly important, and what Dzodi Dzire talked about. We're now joined by, I've made him kind of like one of my regulars, you know, he's one of my go-to people. He happens to be of Haitian descent himself, and a very, very accomplished academician and aspiring elected official. And he'll have to correct me. I always get his last name incorrect, so he'll correct me and keep training me until I get it right. But Brother Patrick Delisis is on the air with us now. Did I get it right, Patrick?
Oh, you got it right, Dr.
Oh, my goodness. I'm getting closer. All right, my brother. Thanks again for joining us for Vantage Point.
Thanks for inviting me again.
Well, Sister Dzodi Dzire said that any errors that she may have made, you would correct. So we were trying to get a fix on the date of Bwaka Iman. And she thought the 14th. Some people say the 21st. I heard the 19th. You are going to give us the authoritative, definitive word on the date of the Bwaka Iman ceremony in Haiti.
It is August 14th.
August 14th.
1791.
August 14th. Well, she had it right. She had it right. That's what she said. But she said in some books, go ahead.
But it was a long day celebration. It wasn't just a one-day stop and shop. This was continuous. It was a long-day celebration. It was a voodoo ceremony, not just to bring out the spiritual uplift and essence of African people, but to bring forth political resistance towards global white supremacy. This was a call for revolution. This was a call for a new world order in which the island of Haiti, the nation of Haiti, in which Boukman, Dutti, Cecily, Fatima, Toussaint, Christophe, Dessalines, Fatima, and some of the others, Susan Blair, accomplished. So we Haitians in 1804 created a new world order by defeating not only Napoleonic forces in France, but the British
and the
Spanish, mm-hmm. and keeping the United States at bay, and also defeating slavery, chattel slavery, and colonialism. This was the first in the Western Hemisphere.
Right. Now, Patrick, what I want to do is say just a quick word, because I've dedicated the show to the memory of Boukman intentionally. because when I speak very often and I start talking about the heroes of the Haitian Revolution, I always start with him because everybody knows about Toussaint, and justifiably so. And, yeah, and Dessalines, less so of Christophe and Pétion, but certainly, you know, Toussaint and Dessalines are well known. But almost nobody ever mentions Boukman. And so just quickly, talk about the significance of Boukman.
Oh, Boukman is extremely significant. What he did in the Ugan political spiritual ceremony on August 14th, 1794, to the point that revolutionary leaders, Gabriel Pariser, Denmark Vesey, Nat Turner, tried to duplicate Boukman's ceremony and revolutionary plans in the United States at the same time, around August 14th, August 17th, August 21st. So Boukman is very significant philosophically too, Dr. Daniels, in the fact that he said, throw away the God of the white man.
That's
and
right.
Once you do that, you will be free.
That's right. Yeah, that prayer that he prayed that night is powerful.
Correct. And that predates the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Yeah.
Right? Who was a Muslim, and people say Boukman was a Muslim, but at the ceremony in Wai Kai Man, Boukman had to cut a black pig. So Muslims don't mess with the hog, as you know, Dr. Daniels. So
don't mess with the swine.
And they had to pass the blood of the hog and drink it and make an oath to the ancestors. So I don't know of any Muslim, and there's this narrative that's going around saying Boukman was a Muslim. Boukman was from Guinea, but whether he's a Muslim, we need to revisit that, because I don't know of any Muslim that plays around with the swine.
Right.
So, but nevertheless, Boukman's call to throw away the God of the white man is extremely, extremely significant for what it does for our consciousness.
Right. Now, quickly, what I want you to do is, because I want to really turn attention to this, the premium we have today really talks about the treatment of Haitians, what's happening under plantations and with migrant workers the migrant workers in Florida, what's happening in the Dominican Republic, the treatment of people who are trying to enter this country and yet are prevented from doing so. It also talks about, and Dewoti did an excellent job in talking about the value of voodoo and all of that. But walk us through the Toussaint, Dessalines, Pétion, and Henri Christophe, just quickly, their contributions, these four generals that we usually, these are the ones that we generally see. And are depicted.
Sure. The individuals that you mentioned, Toussaint Louverture, Dessalines, Christophe, and Pétion, we know two out of the three were present on August 14th or August 22nd, 1791, when Boukman Doody inspired over 100,000 enslaved Africans to destroy 1,200 coffee and 200 sugar plantations in Haiti.
Who was present?
We know they destroyed.
Yeah, I understand that, but who of those four were present?
Toussaint Louverture and Jean-Jacques Dessalines.
I never knew that.
So we, as a matter of fact, that was Toussaint Louverture's introduction into military strategy. In 1794 at Wai Kai Man. But what's significant about that, too, once Boukman did this, along with his co-leader, Cecily Fatiman, in 1791, the Federalist administration of President George Washington provided aid to the French to combat Boukman's revolution. So the Federalist administration of President George Washington provided aid to the French in 1791. they supplied the French with arms, food, and military personnel. Also in 1791, because of Bookman and Cecily Fatima and Bwai Kaiman, in 1791, the London Stock Exchange fell.
Mm.
So these are significant roles, economic, political, cultural, that Bookman played. In terms of economics, the stock market fell. It forced George Washington to provide financial aid to the French to suppress Bookman's military unit and revolution. In terms of politically, it gathered masses of enslaved Africans, which ended up destroying 1,200 coffee and 200 sugar plantations. And at that time, half of all the sugar and coffee consumed in Europe and Americas came from Haiti. In terms of culture, Bookman said, we need to change our mindset. We need to stop worshiping the God of the white man. Right. And,
okay, we got Bookman. Let's get to, let's go to Toussaint, Dessalines, Henri Christophe, and Pétion quickly.
Toussaint came from African royalty. Toussaint's father was a king in West Africa, in the Kingdom of Benin. Mm-hmm. And Toussaint's father and mother, Pauline, was captured. And Toussaint was born in Haiti. Toussaint Louverture was extremely well-educated and extremely smart. And a lot of Haitians consider Toussaint Louverture not only a military strategist, but also a public intellectual. So,
would you say of all of the four that Toussaint is really like the statesman? He's the president, the secretary of state, and all that rolled into one.
Correct. And his brilliance is shown in the way he diplomatically outwitted the British, the French, the Americans, and the Spaniards. He outsmarted them militarily and diplomatically.
Right.
But in 1801, Toussaint Louverture ended up calling himself the governor in general for life in Haiti, and he put forward a constitution to make Haiti sovereign. Napoleon Bonaparte did not like that. So Napoleon Bonaparte sent troops, reinstituted slavery, which Toussaint abolished, and he ended up capturing Toussaint. They took Toussaint to France, where Toussaint died of pneumonia in a cold prison cell April 7th, 1803. So Toussaint did not see a completed free, sovereign, first black republic of the Western Hemisphere. So with Toussaint passing, second in command, Jean-Jacques Dessalines. Jean-Jacques Dessalines was able to complete Toussaint's goal of making Haiti free and independent. So Jean-Jacques Dessalines was basically Toussaint's second in command. He was general, he was governor of the South, governor for life, president of Haiti, and he became Emperor Jean-Jacques I of Haiti. He also joined the ranks of the Maroons. He participated in Bookman Revolution. And Jean-Jacques Dessalines created a lot of things that were very progressive at that time. For example, he declared nowhere else in the world, at least in the Americas or in the Western Hemisphere, he declared citizenship for black folks who were not considered citizens. Nowhere in the Americas. This is the first time. He, in making Haiti sovereign, the first black republic, in his constitution, he made all Haitians, any black person who steps foot
on Haitian soil, that's
Haitian
right.
citizens.
Right.
So this was a first. This was a huge accomplishment by Jean-Jacques Dessalines.
Henri Christophe. We got to keep rolling. We can't give up. Yeah. Only a snapshot.
Correct. And with the assassination of Jean-Jacques Dessalines, you had the third in command, which was Henri Christophe. Henri Christophe participated as a very, very young man in the American Revolution. So Henri Christophe came with a military background. Henri Christophe, like Toussaint, like Dessalines, was extremely bright. He was a military strategist. He is known for developing one of the wonders of the world, Sans Souci and the Citadel in Haiti. Christophe ultimately became king of northern part of Haiti. And after Dessalines came Pierre Shaw, who was also general in the Haitian Revolution, who ended up having a disagreement with Christophe, and he became president of the Northern Republic of Haiti.
Right. Okay, well, I just wanted to give that little quick synopsis. I know we could talk lots and lots and lots because about the Haitian Revolution, but I wanted people to at least know a snapshot of these folk. But also, we spent a good deal of time today on Boukman, and I think appropriately so. And then I learned something. I did not know that Dessalines and Toussaint were in that Congress and at that ceremony at Wakaiman. So that's why I like to do this, because I learn something, you know, all the time. Well, we're going to now go back to our premium, because one of the things that I always say in my speeches is that Haiti was punished for shattering the myth of white supremacy. That is to say, that ever since the Haitian Revolution, and you saw, as you were talking about the George Washington, not that the French needed any help. They had, goodness gracious, they had the most powerful armies in the world. But, of course, there was an alliance between France and the United States, though, you know, at times it got shaken, whatever. But the French under Napoleon, you know, the armies were conquering, you know, all of Europe. But it shows the degree to which this potential was seen as threatening, particularly in the era of enslavement, this bright beacon of hope, and the way in which the word spread. There was no internet. There was no Twitter, no Facebook, no Snapchat, whatever all that stuff is. It was not there. It was by the grapevine. It was through the reverberations that were sent, the word of mouth. That the Haitian Revolution inspired many. And yet, Haiti was stigmatized, isolated, invaded, and you have this whole ha 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 ha, the Haitians are the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere, and people are treated miserably in many ways. The premium for today speaks about this racism, this attitude towards Haiti. It is called The Sweet Science of Racism. It is Historical Perspectives on the Architects of Haitian Racism. It was produced by Robert Knight, the late Robert Knight, and was originally broadcast on May of 2010 after the earthquake. It is a 2-CD set documentary, has many, many different aspects to it. It includes a copy of the original Declaration, the premium, and a copy of the original Declaration of Independence. And there's also a bonus CD, the coverage of Haiti from the programs Contragate and Undercurrents. So that's all a part of this package for just $100. And again, what we say to people is we want you to have this so that you can see for yourself how Haitians are treated, not because we want you to wallow in the despair and in the tragedy and the treatment, so that it fortifies your solidarity and your sense that we will overcome, that we will support Haiti, that we will support Haitian initiatives, and that we'll be about the business of paying our debt to see that Haiti will one day and soon and very soon, you know, it's 8 to 10 million people strong, vibrant, and really should be the leading nation in the Caribbean and a bright beacon of hope for the entire world as it once was and still is in terms of a historical example. So call us at 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. The premium for today, the cost is $100 for this premium. It includes elements on modern day slavery in Florida, the treatment of Haitians in the sugar plantations, sugar fields of the Dominican Republic. This is really gut-wrenching stuff to see for yourself. It's one thing to hear about it. It's another thing to actually see it. It is also a segment sort of disabusing people of the myths and misconceptions about voodoo and Haiti. And also there is an entire section dealing with the earthquake that devastated Haiti It was really, really devastating. And Haiti is recovering, but ever so slowly, from this devastating disaster. This is the premium that we have for today. We urge you to purchase it. It's a part of your library, your archive, your teaching tools. And again, if you already have it, you already know this, have this knowledge, share it. Send it to someone else. Send it around so that other people can be edified, fortified by this information. Call us at 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602 in order to get this premium. And in so doing, again, I just know what comes to mind. Straightforward. WBAI is a part of the resistance. It is a part of the transformation. Last week we heard Dr. Julia Scarvey talk about this transformative sense of knowledge and how it works in relationship to the great African kingdoms. And Tony Broder talked about that as well. Zordi Zazir talked about it too. So this is about digging into things that have us view the world differently than has been the case by the European colonizers, the conquerors, who in many ways have brought a death-dealing so-called anti-civilization, really. We want to counter that. And you find that in Haiti. And in that section, particularly, this whole piece on voodoo, which a lot of people are, they have this notion about sticking pins in people and all this madness. That's not what voodoo is about. This is a religious system and way of looking at the world. Powerful. And we heard Devotee Zazir talk about that, and you'll learn more about it with this premium. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. You get this kind of information here on WBAI. You also get it on Vantage Point, the kind of discussion. I have to slow Patrick down. We could go with Patrick for a couple of hours. I have to chill. Okay, don't let him, just give him a little shot here, because we don't have time for the whole deal. But you see the power of the conversation. If you want commercial radio, you just get a tease, a real tease. You ain't get that much. It's hit it and quit it radio and TV. And we don't need that. We need more in-depth conversations. You get them here on WBAI. Throughout its programming, you get a rich variety of programming and perspectives and knowledge, because this is resistance radio, but also it's about transformation. It's about how we build from out of the destruction wrought by European, by white supremacy, capitalism, European imperialism, how we build a new world. You heard Patrick talk about the fact, and both Dorothy Desir as well, how this was about a new world order, and they didn't want that new world order, because the globalization of the day was enslavement, extracting from formerly from free people their labor to build their empire. And of course, the Haitian Revolution, of course, then they sugarcoated it with this whole notion, but they're inferior. And, they created the whole racism myth. And as a result of that, but Haiti said, no, shattered that myth. And they could not afford a free and independent Haiti. And even today, what would a genuinely thoroughly reconstructed, revitalized Haiti mean to the black world? Well, you can contribute in small ways by through your solidarity. It's what we've been doing with the Haiti Support Project for 22 years. We've been on that mission working with Haiti, and it's because we owe a debt. I love the Haitian people. I love the Brazil. I love the history. I love the culture. But as much as anything, we owe a debt. We as African people owe a debt. All of people of concern and goodwill really owe a debt to Haiti. And one of the ways to at least acknowledge that is to just do a small step today by purchasing this premium, as we have been talking about Haiti all day today in memory of Boukman, a person whom many of you perhaps never heard of. But you heard about it today. 516-620-3602. Go to your phones right now. Right now, we want at least five more people to go to your phones right now as we get ready for this break. We're going to take about a few minutes here for a little pause. Come back with Patrick Delicious. But before we do that, go to your phones, 516-620-3602 for the premium of today, The Sweet Science of Racism in Haiti, Historical Perspectives on the Architects of Haitian Racism. Or put another way, Racism Towards Haiti and Haitians. Again, produced by Robert Knight and originally broadcast in May of 2010. I've described the different elements. It is a rich collection of various elements. It is a 2-CD package, but it also includes the copy of the original Declaration of Independence of the People of Haiti. And then there's a bonus CD that goes with it as well. Go to your phones right now, 516-620-3602, to support WBAI. That's the real deal. That's the real premium, is WBAI is the real premium. Premium or not, you got the premium, because knowledge is power. 516-620-3602. Friends, allies, supporters, those who know of the work that HSP, the Haiti Support Project, has done around Haiti for all these many years. I'm calling on you to join us today in supporting WBI. There are many of you out there who maybe never pledged before, never came on board, who never did anything before. Do this for Haiti. Do this for Haiti. Do this in the name of solidarity with Haiti. 516-620-3602. Because one thing you know is I'm not just a radio activist. I'm engaged in many of the issues we talk about. And we'll be going to Haiti, you know, next 6 months or so. Looking maybe January. Getting ready to go down. Anniversary of the earthquake. Some other things we want to do. So, and looking for investors. Looking for people who are serious about making a contribution. Not just to sightsee. Though the sightseeing is edifying in and of itself. But this is a different kind of mission we're going to be going on in perhaps on January. Looking at that now. So I've been on this for 22 years. Since 1995. Go to your phones right now, 516-620-3602, to make your pledge for the premium of the day. We'll be right back with Patrick Delicious after we take this break.
It's a dangerous idea because the society is based on inequality. That's what makes it work. Because it was not supposed to work for everybody. It was supposed to work for a minority.
What was a dangerous idea in France was even more dangerous in its slaveholding colonies off the coast of Florida, Martinique, Guadeloupe, and an island known as the Pearl of the Antilles. Today, the western half is Haiti. Then it was the French colony of Saint-Domingue.
One thing that's fascinating about that time, people think things were very far away. They were not. News traveled very, very fast.
We have to remember that the ocean was like a highway in the 18th century. I mean, the ships were constantly bringing news back and forth. Everyone was obsessed with news. Sailors would come off the ships. The first people they would talk to, the people they would work with as they were unloading the ships, were enslaved people. So there are reports who were describing the events that have been going on in Paris to the enslaved that are working alongside of them.
Few intended colonial slaves should take democratic ideas to heart. Far too much was at stake. Sugar greased the wheels of the 18th century economy, and Saint-Domingue was the sugar capital of the world. It was easy, even for France's political radicals, to ignore the agony that made it all possible.
Okay, we're back. And of course, we're getting a lot of discussion about Haiti today. I'm going to invite our chief announcer, Michael G. Haskins, to join us. He has perhaps some perspectives about why it's important to latch on to this premiere for today. Michael.
Hey, good morning, Dr. Daniels and Patrick DeLisius. It's wonderful to have you to listen to the conversation that you're having with Dr. Daniels this morning about Haiti. I'm so enthused and so excited to hear yet again this discussion about Haiti. We can't talk about Haiti enough on this radio station, and we have the ability to talk about Haiti because we're listener sponsored and commercially free. We thank the listeners just like yourselves for calling in with your pledges of support. Now, we need about a dozen more of you to call in right now in support of Haiti, in support of WBAI, because WBAI, that's the only place that you're going to hear a discussion about Haiti and the Haitian Revolution. Dr. Daniels mentioned last week, Garvey. What do you mean, Garvey? Up ye mighty race, you can accomplish what you will, Garvey. Where you're not going to hear this anywhere else on the radio dial. And you know that. Those of you who listen to Vantage Point, who maybe haven't made that contribution yet, you know that you're not going to hear this anywhere else. We need you to call in support right now. 516-620-3602. You're asking for the sweet science of racism. A $100 contribution, but as Dr. Daniels was saying throughout the morning, that, you know, if you don't have $100, a $50 contribution will do. Do whatever you can to support WBAI. You can become a BAI buddy, as Dr. Daniels talks about. You can call up and text to WBAI. You text the letters WBAI to the number 41444. I just wanted to get that in and just to say that without WBAI, you would not be hearing a discussion about Haiti. That's for sure.
Thank you so much to Michael G. Haskins, who's always so incredibly supportive and helpful in helping me with these shows. And we really, really appreciate that because, again, my time is so full until I don't always have time to do the kind of drop-ins, the kind of inserts that you're hearing today that Michael G. Haskins is helping us with. He said we need a dozen more people, which means, folks, you are letting me down. We need you to really support WBAI. I want Vantage Point to be listed among those shows that are meeting their quota, because every one of the shows, they have a goal for every show. And we want to meet our goal today. So we need 12 more people in the next 15 minutes. That's a person, a minute almost, to be calling. And you can call simultaneously. So I don't necessarily want to do my James Brown please, please, please thing, but I will. Please call and support WBAI by calling 516-620-3602 to get this knowledge, this package of information about Haiti. You will not regret it. It's strong. It's powerful. It will make you angry. And that's good. Because when you get angry, maybe you'll act. No, not maybe. You will act on that anger. When we start issuing appeals for support for schools, support for economic development, and who knows, you may even decide you want to go to Haiti to see for yourself the real deal in terms of the resilience, the history, the power of the Haitian people. One of the stops that we often make on our tour of the northern part of Haiti is to go to one of the sacred voodoo sites and to actually experience it, to be there for one of the sites. And sometimes we have an opportunity to go to to respectfully sit in on a actual ceremony. And it's interesting how this works because, you know, all over the world. Brazil, we actually visited and sat in, you know, on a ceremony. And it's very similar to in Haiti because it's a worldview. It is these religious systems that are out there. So, again, this premium covers a lot of ground. A lot of it is about the negativity and the way in which Haitians are treated. You need to see for yourself how Haitians are treated in the Dominican Republic, in the sugar fields, and how they're treated in Florida as migrant workers. But also a discussion of how Haiti was treated after the earthquake, what the aspirations were, but what the responses were. But also the misconceptions about voodoo, which is a part of this premium. It is two CD set, but it also includes a copy of the original Declaration of Independence of the People of Haiti. So go to your phones right now. Oh, I appreciate the call that just came in. Appreciate that call. 516-620-3602. We have volunteers who are waiting patiently for your calls, and we urge you to do so because it is WBAI. That is the real premium. As our chief announcer said, you won't hear these kinds of in-depth conversations anywhere else in terms of corporate capitalist media, particularly from this vantage point and perspective, the depth that you're hearing. This is why it's valuable. That's why Vantage Point, we hope, is valuable. And we'd like a vote of confidence, a vote of support for those of you who listen. As I travel around, I do hear people say that they listen. Heard a lot of people at the, was the keynote speaker for the 19th commemoration of Dr. John Henry Clark at Mount Pisgah Baptist Church, where the Reverend Johnny Ray Youngblood is the pastor a couple of weeks ago. A lot of people say, I listen, I hear, I like. Okay, well, all right, contribute. Also help, because in helping it, you helping us out, we are helping us. We are helping ourselves. 516-620-3602 is the number to call to get our premium for today. Just $100. Put it on your credit card. You know you got some space on your credit card, and we spend all kind of stuff on our credit card. So add $100 to the credit card, and in response to this appeal. Or go to your checking account, make arrangements to pay installments, and if you can't do that, become a WBAI buddy. $10 a month, $120 a year, and it's painless. Comes right. I'm a WBAI buddy. I try to model that which I ask you to do. Now, everybody can't do what I do. They can't, you know. I mean, I'm not wealthy, by the way. I'm a college professor, and we don't make a whole lot of money. But I do try to allocate my resources to those causes that I believe are important, and I try to do as much as I can, and I can afford to do it, and I do it to set an example for myself. I try to follow my own principles in that regard. So I'm a WBAI buddy. I pledged $150 last week. Every pledge drive I lead with a donation to set the stage. So I'm not one of, you know, well, I'm not here to just ask you to do. So if it wasn't but $10, I would do it. If I had 25, I would do it because I want to set the tone myself, because I am honored to have this privilege to be on WBAI, because as our program manager often says, when you look at what we do with the Institute of the Black World 21st Century and truly the work around Haiti, it ain't just talking. We have raised, let me just say this, around the earthquake, the Haiti Support Project raised over $300,000 with no staff, but by appealing on the radio, on this station and other allies that we have with Black Talk, we raised over $300,000 for projects on the ground. The amount of support that we have garnered over the last 22 years is in excess of $1 million. So it ain't just talking. It's about getting it done, and we need your help and support to do that. Give us a call at 516-620-3602. Patrick Delicious, why are Haitians treated? I mean, give us your sense of what you see happening. You probably have some knowledge of what's happening with the migrants in Florida, what's happening in these, you know, sugar plantations in the Dominican Republic, You know, talk about that a bit, would you?
Sure. Haitians are treated the way they are treated because they debunk the myth that blacks are inferior and whites are superior. So there's nothing inferior about us. But to keep us in an inferior status, certain things are put in place politically and in terms of economics and in terms of culture. And you mentioned them in terms of voodoo, the way voodoo is portrayed in the media and even in academic institutions and even in scholarly literature is degrading. The way Haitian workers, migrant workers, or otherwise, the way they're being treated in Florida is dehumanizing. The way they're being treated in Dominican Republic is also dehumanizing because slavery and chattel slavery means that we are chattel. We're not human. We are inferior. So we are supposed to be dehumanized. And this is what global white supremacy and European American forces put out there. But Haiti in 1804 put a stop to that type of thinking. And because of that, Haiti has been suffering ever since. So in a nutshell, this is why Haitians are being treated the way they are being treated, be it in the United States, be it in Florida, be it in Dominican Republic, and even in Haiti. The way certain elites treat the Haitian peasants and the Haitian working class. This all was created by the narrative of colonialism and by the narrative of chattel slavery. And it still is present today, unfortunately.
Well, as you all know, again, this is Pledge Drive, and we're urging people. You've been on with me, and your own thoughts and words about why people should support WBAI and get a premium like the one that we have today that really shows various facets of how Haitians are treated. Patrick, you there?
Yes. And there's a lot of things going on in terms of the people of Haiti and the negative perception and the stereotypes surrounding people of Haiti. And again, Dr. Daniels, as I mentioned earlier, it all stems back from 1804, given the fact that, as you mentioned, we, the Haitians, the African Haitians, defeated the most powerful European military force and might at that time, which was the Republic of France under the leadership of Napoleon Bonaparte. So Haitians were able to connect with the Africanness, as I mentioned earlier, with Bookman and his declaration to throw away the white man's God, and the fact that he declared that we are not inferior, there's nothing inferior about us, but also the fact that in Haiti and during the Haitian Revolution, you had military strategists from the Congo during the Congo Civil War being captured and being transported illegally in terms of human trafficking to Haiti. So you had revolutionary leaders that people are not aware of, aside from Bookman, Toussaint Louverture, Dessalines, Christophe, and Pétion, but you had Africans from the Congo, such as Makaya, Sans Souci, Alua, the Nango leader, who pledged their allegiance to the kingdom and the king of the Congo, not to Napoleon and the French Republic.
Right.
So there's this thing with Haitians, because we are trying to recapture our glorious African past. We're connecting with our glorious African past, and the world of white supremacy, the world of global white supremacy, this is not allowed. And
right.
Because you're trying to do this, they will punish you
right
at all costs. For example, Ron, and I'll be very quick with this. and this is what a lot of people don't know about, and I'm going to throw this in there, and no documentary on Haiti talks about this. And if they talk about it now, it's because I mentioned it on your show, and they're listening. Napoleon Bonaparte, to suppress the Haitian Revolution, it was Napoleon Bonaparte, not Hitler, not the Nazis, Napoleon Bonaparte, who first used the gas chamber as a method of mass execution. He used it on Haitian revolutionary masses, where he killed at least over 100,000 enslaved Africans in Haiti by using sulfur dioxide gas in makeshift gas chambers and holding ships.
Oh, wow. I
hadn't heard that. Napoleon Bonaparte.
Right.
And you're not going to find this anywhere. There's manuscripts during that time in the 1800s that people have written about this. There's reports about this.
Right. And this is the man that's held up as one of the great military leaders of all time, you know, who is admired and all kinds of things. Look, we have to really move on. Patrick DeLisius, thank you so much for being with us this morning. You are one of our resident panelists for Vantage Point Now. So we appreciate you for acquitting yourself brilliantly again today. Thank you so much. Really appreciate
it. Thank you so much for the invite. Take care, bro.
All right. We have 3 minutes left, and I'm told we still are lagging. Let's try to finish up that dozen people we needed in this next 3 minutes. You've been listening so hard you couldn't get to your phone. Well, get to your phone now, because that's all we're going to be doing is asking you to go to your phones.
We got six of those dozen, so we still need six more.
All right, we got six more. Let's go to your phones right now. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. We just have 2.5 minutes, but that means you can get to their phones. There's more than one phone line. There are plenty of people waiting for you to call right now. I urge you, really, this we could spend several shows talking about Haiti, because it is, to me, this is one of the great debts that we owe is to Haiti. And we really need, that's why I have taken hundreds of African American and Haitians, you know, to Haiti. In fact, Maurice Enfler, first African American elected to a statewide office in the United States, she was born in Cape Haitian, but had not gone back because of her own reservations and hesitations. Took her back to Haiti, and she's been reconnected ever since. And that has happened several times, an African-American connecting Haitians back to their own legacy, because there's a way in which this internalized sense of degradation that the devotee talked about can actually, like, muddle your sense. I know some folk, I've run into people, I don't want to ever go back to Haiti, and they have all these myths. Haiti is powerful, and it will be more powerful when you engage and support. So go to your phones right now. One of the small steps you can take is by supporting Vantage Point, supporting it, because you also support the work that we do broadly. You have a valuable tool in your library, in your archives. 516-620-3602. 3602. Let's really light up those phones. People are waiting for you. Oh, thank you for that call. We're almost there. 516-620-3602. The premium is The Sweet Science of Racism in Haiti. You've heard about the history and background of Haiti, but also the way that Haitians are treated as a consequence of that. You hear about it, but in these CDs, you see it. And it's nothing like seeing it. And that's why this premium is so valuable. Very many, many different aspects that you'll have for just $100. 516-620-3602. Continue to call. We're out of time, but we want you to continue to support WBAI. That's the real premium. You heard a great discussion today, I think. We hope you learned from it. We hope you were encouraged by it. Maybe you were also angered by it because of the way Haitians are treated, but inspired by the notion of the first black republic. And we've got to keep Haiti on the rise. And you can do that again by supporting us here. 516-620-3602. This is the professor, Dr. Ron Daniels, and I'm a host of Vantage Point here on WBII 99.5 FM in collaboration with ycradio.org. Don't forget to fly your red, black, and green on August 17th, the birthday of the Honorable Marcus Mosias Garvey. And don't forget to support Haiti. We'll be right back next week here on Vantage Point.
Vantage Point with Professor Ron Daniels, Mondays at 10 a.m. here on commercial-free, listener-supported, commercial-free, listener-sponsored community radio, WBAI. I'm inspired. I'm inspired by hearing about Haiti discussed for the past 2 hours on WBAI. Are you? I hope that you are. I hope that you will join. Another call just came in a moment ago. Thank you for that call coming in to WBAI. The Sweet Science of Racism in Haiti, produced by the late Robert Knight, a hero of mine, and I'm certain someone that many of you listened to many, many years before he made his transition. 516-620-3602. My name is Michael G. Haskins. I'm the station's chief announcer and your host and radio guide. Delighted to be here with you this morning, supporting Vantage Point with Professor Ron Daniels. Just a few minutes. Coming up next will be the Gary Null Show. 516-620-3602. Let's hear from you now in the final minute or two of Vantage Point.
The sweat gets in it and it burns. In the roots, there are ants. They bite. And when they bite you, you will scratch yourself for half a day.
If the worker refused to work, well, there is a law which you just shoot him. That's all.
The whole concept of slavery itself is a totally savage one. The French, they brought it down to science. A slave coming from Africa would not last 3 years, the way the system it was organized. They had it down to that kind of statistics.
Slavery in Saint-Domingue succeeded too on a foundation of relentless terror. Slave owner Stanislas Saint-Fouache explained it as rational management.
Relentless terror. You know, terrorism didn't start with 2001 or 1993. Terrorism has been around a long time. The Sweet Science of Racism, 3602. Make your calls now. Support this commercial-free, listener-sponsored community radio station. Thank you so very, very much for your calls of support.